Okay, everyone, welcome back. We're still on season two, obviously. This is game week 10, and welcome back to the football. Full disclosure, I got it right.
It's always practicing. A celebration every week.
I know, because we always mix it up. We're often like the disclosure full, the football. But this is the football full disclosure.
Yep.
Game week 10, we didn't have last week because we were all on field trips, and I have friends telling me, oh, Liverpool lost again. I bet there's not going to be a podcast. And it's not true. It's not the reason. But ironically, we are back after winning.
Which is nice to say, because it was starting to get a bit worrying, wasn't it?
It was. So let's just crack on. Liverpool, Villa. Could have been a bogey side. Well, they have traditionally been a bogey side for us. And on paper, they should have beaten us, because they have been what? One of the informed sides.
Yeah, I think it was what, five wins in a row.
And we had four losses in a row.
Yeah, it wasn't looking good. And I have to say, everyone was kind of like, you know what, you got to worry for Liverpool, because they're going into a spell of
losses.
Losses, but three tough games coming up, this being the first of them. And we handled it pretty well. I have to say that certain changes were made, maybe not all of the changes that I would have liked to have seen.
No.
But certainly that midfield trio that we had from last season.
Back again,
and doing what needs to be done.
Can I say, for me, it felt like it was a return to last season. There was calmness, there was control, there was aggression in the right moments. The midfield, like you mentioned, was pivotal. Szoboszlai, my gosh, that guy, he ran like it was a workhorse.
Yeah, he's been the best player for us this season so far.
Right? You know, he was absolute maniac. He was everywhere. But at the same time, I was speaking to someone else today, and they mentioned the fact that Villa didn't take the opportunity to cause us troubles. And they played their game, you know, passing at the back. And that suited us, because
it suits us. One of the goals came from a mistake.
And you know, we've had big issues with long balls, haven't we? And Villa just didn't take advantage of that.
No, they didn't. Emery is well known for playing his style of football, which suits us, because that's how we play. So if someone's playing that kind of way against us, we know how to deal with that quite well. We press better, not as well as we have in previous seasons. We'd been a bit lackluster at the pressing in recent games, but we press better, we force them into mistakes, and they made mistakes, and ultimately we capitalized on that. So, great. Step in the right direction. It's nice to say we won when we were the better side as well.
Absolutely.
And we were.
Yeah.
We needed that.
Clean sheet. And obviously, as we're talking right now, this is a Wednesday. We've just watched the Champions League. So that was another positive win against a very tough Real Madrid side. And again, it was a very similar thing. It was controlled. It was aggressive in the right moments. Thibaut Courtois was next level.
Again, another game we were the better team in. And we won against a team that are top of their league as well. Obviously, it doesn't matter, even if they're not top of the league, they're that good. Real Madrid are, we know how good they are. So to get that win, that's a huge boost for us going into what is going to be another really tough game. But a team that will play the style of football that maybe suits us. I can't imagine we're going to be seeing Man City playing long balls.
Don't be surprised. Remember, Man City against Arsenal earlier on the season, and they pretty much set up in an incredibly defensive role, something we'd never seen before from Pep. So don't be surprised, because I think one of the major issues I feel like we've had this season was teams that have beaten us are willing to throw their game plan out the window and do what they can to beat us. And that's either it's long balls, it's long throws, it's just, you know, an incredible amount of pressure catching us on the break. These teams go out to actually win games. And if Pep, hopefully, plays his style, I think we can get something out of the game. But who knows?
I agree. I think if they do play their style, what you have to do is nullify Haaland. If you can do that, because I know not an easy task, but that being said, we have a pretty good record with Haaland when we're playing against him. Pretty well. Doesn't matter. Even so, we tend to nullify him quite well. Of course, that may be different. But if we do, I think we stand a very good chance of getting a result. I think Pep absolutely could just throw it out the window and say, actually, long balls are working.
Yep.
Let's just do that. Let's try something different.
Take advantage of our weaknesses.
But it shouldn't be a weakness. You know, we're this far in. it's happened to us this many times. Why can't they figure out how to deal with it? Because if this is the case, and we can only beat the better, so-called better teams in the league because they don't play long balls.
What does that say?
Yeah, we're still going to lose a lot of games, aren't we?
What does that say?
So that's worrying. So we need to, we can't rely on, okay, well, hopefully they won't play the long ball in this game. We need to be able to deal with that.
I think, you know, actually, I think this is a good segue into Arsenal, who, oh God, they have got such a good defense. And Arsenal were away at Burnley. It was a 2-0 win. Oh God, Gabriel is just, he's having a season. He's having an amazing season. I do have written in the notes, if you don't have him in your fantasy football league, you are nuts. Get Gabriel in there, because that guy, he's a threat from corners. And I know I've made the joke before, set piece FC, you know, Stoke in disguise and everything else like that. But you know something? They have a weapon and they're taking advantage and using their weapon, which is obviously set pieces. They didn't concede all of October. That's, just think about that for a moment. Zero goals conceded in all of October. That is incredible.
It's incredible. Gabriel, to be fair, has been good for seasons.
Seasons.
It's not like this
point.
Is the first time.
No,
it's like, oh,
no.
Well, Gabriel's playing well this season.
Yes.
I mean, he was one of the first people that went into my fantasy team because he is
really?
Consistently good. Yeah, you have, as you said, you have to have him. I've
you
had him since
him.
The start.
Mm.
And he'll probably stay in unless he gets injured.
Yeah.
Because he has been great for seasons, not just a season.
Yeah.
Against Burnley. Burnley didn't even have a shot on target.
That's shocking.
I mean, they only had three shots in the whole of the game.
What does that
Arsenal
mean?
Dominated
what
them.
What a defence.
Yeah, no, defensively. But then this is not something new for Arsenal. I mean, defensively, they have been good.
They just didn't have a striker. We know this.
Yeah, exactly. They are very organised defensively, but they lack that firepower up front. They brought in Gyökeres, who is...
He's injured.
Yeah, he's picked up an injury
right
again, which is a shame for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he has been scoring goals here and there. He's not been prolific, but at the end of the day, you just need somebody who's going to score
you need
your goals.
That. You need that.
If you're solid defensively, that one goal could be enough.
That's it.
And probably will be. So ultimately, yeah, I mean, Arsenal are looking good. They are looking good. They're 7
good.
Points clear.
Yeah.
Or is it 6 now? Yeah, they're looking good so far, but there's plenty of the season left to go. If other teams find their form, and we will talk about Man City a bit later on, but certainly from a Liverpool point of view, as we've already spoken about them, if we find our groove and can get some momentum going, it could be an interesting title race.
It could be, and I've written here, the league will be tight if we click. Because we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, we think Arsenal will have a dip. Do we think,
history
or do we...
History says they will.
History says they will. I think they will. We... You know, it's not something we're obviously, you know, just like praying to the gods for, but historically they will. And the injuries, I talked to my Arsenal supporter mate, and they bang on about the injuries. You know, they've got, what, 7 players out. You can name a few. Jesus, who hasn't featured in ages. Kai Havertz, Madueke, Gyökeres right now. I think Odegaard is out. So some big players, but they've also got a big squad. So I don't understand what Arsenal supporters complain about in terms of, oh, these injuries. I think they're looking for excuses for when they do have a dip to then blame it on these injuries that...
Well, I think it's losing someone like Gabriel might be a bit of a bigger difference. They do have a bit more cover now, which is good for them. Obviously, they needed it because they fell short last time because they didn't have it. They knew they needed to bulk out their squad a bit. This is football. If you don't have a squad capable of winning, then you're going to struggle because you are going to pick up injuries. There's an awful lot of games, probably, arguably, too many games.
Too many games.
I mean, when you're playing every 2 or 3 days, it's tricky. I mean,
it's tricky.
These people are only human. They can only do so much. You are going to pick up injuries throughout the season.
Yeah.
You need to have a squad. Do they have that squad this season? If they pick up injuries, you know, the Christmas time.
Yeah,
it's that time of the year where these, you know, the muscles don't get quite as warm. It gets really cold. I mean, that's when the injuries creep in, isn't it?
So, yeah.
And that's probably why there is a mid-season dip, because they will pick up injuries around that time, January, February time, and then see what happens.
And
so
we have to be there to take advantage of it.
Yeah, but there's things. We've dropped off already too much. 7 points is...
It's a lot.
It is a lot. But
it's
It's
crazy that we went from 5 points ahead to 7 points behind.
That's
how quickly it changed, isn't it? Okay, let's move over to Nottingham Forest and United. Big talking point. Not just the fact that United have been on a really good run, but unfortunately it's come to an end. The guy who's been growing his hair until Man United score 5 goals, he has to continue waiting. Are you aware of this?
Yeah, so, you've told me.
It's ridiculous. He's gonna have an afro for the rest of his life. But the biggest talking point was the dubious corner. The ball apparently didn't go out. It didn't go out.
No, it didn't go all the way over the line.
All the way over the line.
I mean, the bottom of the ball that was touching the ground was over the line for sure.
The entire
ball. That's not how it works, though, is it?
The entire ball has to be over the line.
It wasn't.
And it wasn't. And Nottingham Forest, unfortunately, concede a corner from that. Now the big talking point is, should VAR get involved in reffing elements of that game? What's your take?
We don't want VAR to be involved too much. Mm. And I think that's always been the thought, hasn't it? That from fans, we don't want it all over the place. Because we want games to be quicker. We want the games to flow. We want to be excited by what's going on and not having these continuous stops. And already there are quite a lot. That's football, I think, ultimately, isn't it? I mean, it's grim when it goes against you. And for Forest, that would have been a great result.
That would have been a really good result.
And they needed that because they looked okay, to be fair.
This happened a few years ago, World Cup, Japan, and I think, who was it? It was Japan, Germany or something along those lines. And the ball didn't entirely go out and Japan capitalized from that. And I think whether it was Germany or whoever it was, or Costa Rica, knocked out of the group stages. These are big decisions. And it's something, for me, it feels like we have so much technology in the game already. It's a simple decision, literally, something that tells you the ball is out.
Well, they just already have this technology on goals, don't they?
We do. So how hard is it for them just to say the entire ball is out? It's a goal kick, it's a corner, whatever it is.
That's actually a good point. Why don't they just use the same technology they use for goals on outs as well? Run it across the whole line.
Yeah.
And then if the ball goes out, they'll get the beep, right?
That's it. The ref looks at his wristwatch, ball is out. That's it. It's a throw-in or not a throw-in, whatever it is, because these are big decisions.
That's right. If the technology is that quick, then absolutely
it
they should do
be,
it.
It can be, and it is.
And yeah, exactly. It's already there. So you just expand it across the whole line as opposed to just the goal line, don't you?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, for something like that, why not introduce it if the technology is already there? It does make it fairer. What you want to avoid is
long
VAR.
Stepping in.
But of course, you don't need them to step in if you have
decisions.
That technology.
It's a tough one because now, you know, you. What if it's a points difference that separates relegation battle? You know, you can look. Obviously, you've had the entire season to stop these situations. But, you know, you can look back at decisions like this and say, actually, we were. I don't want to say use this word, but we were messed over. We were screwed over by decisions like that. So, I don't know. It's a tough one. But
well, I mean, it is a tough one to take if you're the one that's having to take those decisions.
Yeah.
And it happens to everybody. I mean, it is a shame for Forest because that would have been a big, big win for them.
Big win.
And they really need it at this point in time. So, yes, I can understand why Dyche was incredibly annoyed by it. I would be in the same situation. I do think if the technology is already there, which it is, and it can be as quick as checking a watch or getting a beep or whatever it is,
that's it.
Then do it. Why not? Make it fairer.
Yeah.
Just let's try and limit the amount of VAR interruptions, I think. Because they just mess up the whole flow of the game. And certainly if you're on the front foot and then, you know, you've got all this going on, you kind of lose your momentum in games as well. That also can have a big effect. So I think VAR needs to be either more automated, so we don't need to rely on human error, or
quick decisions.
Yeah, quicker decisions. That's what we want.
You just mentioned Dyche. Completely forgot. He's in the role. Of course he is. Yeah. We haven't had that discussion, have we? I missed that gravelly voice of his.
Mm.
Gravelly voice. Dyche. That's a good impression.
Very
of
proud
Dyche.
Moment for him. Local lad.
He is. Yeah, he is. He is. Obviously, he has a style of football. I'm not sure if it's, you know, conducive to whatever it was Forrest had been doing with Nuno Espirito Santo. But do you think it changes things? Do you think it now means Forrest are potentially looking to avoid relegation or...
Well, we touched on this before when we talked about it, didn't we? And I think, I think it's steady the ship. I think you bring Dyche in to steady the ship, to make sure nothing silly happens. You use the term quite frequently, sleepwalking into a relegation battle, and that's exactly what they want to avoid.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to the, Fulham, Wolves. It's I don't know, it's so hard saying it's over, but Wolves, it's so bad for them.
It was all over for the manager, wasn't it?
It's all over for the manager.
So there we go. He did lose
his job. He did, yeah. He lost his job.
In football, it doesn't matter if you've just signed a contract at all. It means nothing. Rip it up.
Sometimes signing that contract is... It's almost warning sign that you might lose your job in some cases.
Contracts mean nothing in football. They don't. No, they really don't. All they mean is how much money you're getting, right? Mm. That's it. It's basically how much you're getting paid, because players will be sold after they've only signed, you know, just signed a 6-year contract. They get sold the next year.
Yeah.
Managers are out. They've been in the job 6 months. They just, you know, they signed a 2-3-year contract. They're out. Okay. Yeah. It really doesn't matter. Players will force their way out. They'll take the new contract, they'll take the pay rise, and then they'll force their way out of the club a year after they've signed.
It's such a scabby thing.
It's horrible, but that's the way it is, because people are looking out for themselves. The clubs cannot afford to have a manager there that is not working. You know, they tried to get Gary O'Neill back.
I know, right?
It's crazy.
He's ruled himself out for some reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't go back to it.
Would you not?
No, I don't think I would.
I mean, he had a good thing going. Well, he had good players last time, but he did lose the dressing room last time.
Yeah, and some of those players are still going to be there.
They're still there.
Exactly.
Well, so, I mean, what are you doing back here, Gary?
Yeah, exactly. Gary, what are you doing?
Gary.
Come on, get out.
But we fired you.
Yeah. I can't see him coming back and doing a job there.
No.
And I think, from the outside looking in, who are you going to bring into that?
Who would?
Because it's not looking good,
is it? What is it? Zero wins.
Yeah, that's 2 points still. Two points.
That's
crazy.
I mean, it's two draws, right? That is shocking. Safe to say, right? They're gone. Wolves are dead.
Well, I mean, we can say
it'd be a miracle, right? If they somehow stayed up.
I can't understand what they can do aside from spending really, really smartly in January and basically going on a run to the end of the season. Because usually you'd have a situation where the teams that have come up are struggling.
Mm.
This is one of those freak seasons where that doesn't seem to be happening.
No.
All of the teams are picking up points.
Here and there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some of them more so than others. But they are all picking up points and getting the occasional win and chipping away at draws in games that they could potentially lose. So it's looking really bad for Wolves. They need to turn it around really soon or they are in big trouble.
It's over. Yeah. Anyway, let's move over to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Tottenham hosted Chelsea. God, it's Tottenham supporters booing the team, booing the manager. Inconsistent Spurs. They lost to Chelsea.
Yeah, a team that I don't think they need to be necessarily so upset about. I mean, they're not booing the fact they lost. They're booing just how bad they were.
They had zero shots on target.
Shocking. I mean, that is shocking for me. I mean, a Thomas Frank side playing like that, I mean, that shocks me that they were that bad.
They were bad. They had a good Champions League game. Obviously, they won 3-0. Apparently, Mickey van der Ven scored a wonder goal. I need to watch that. But we had the discussion at some point last season about the Spurs supporters. What do they want? I mean, ultimately, yeah, your team will play badly from time to time. But ultimately, what do they want? Because if they turn against the manager, what happens then? You know, they've brought all of these resources to bring in Thomas Frank, a great manager that we actually like, obviously.
Yeah, very good manager.
And it feels as if, you know, this is how quickly they can turn against the manager, the team. So I asked the question, what do Spurs supporters actually want? Because, you know, it's a league title is far away for a Spurs team right now, obviously. But so what do you want? Because you will have games like that, unfortunately, where you don't play very well, but you have to get behind the team.
Yeah, you do. I mean, they shouldn't be booing the manager at all. And I don't think they should be booing the players either. I mean, I understand why. I mean, they had, and I know you quite often say this about XG and like, oh, who really cares?
XG,
but at the same time,
yeah,
it was like 0.05 or...
It was not that
low. No, it was.
That's terrible.
No, and it was... It was really bad. That is by far probably one of the worst performances of any club this season, I think. And that will be why.
And that says a lot.
And yeah, and
that's a Wolves team that hasn't won a game.
I think there's... Yeah, with Wolves playing as badly as they've been playing and not win a game, they've been unlucky in some games, but yeah, that was poor.
Wowzers.
That was really poor from Spurs, and I think that's why they were very, very, very annoyed. But ultimately, you do have to still support your team.
You do.
You might expect you're going to lose to Chelsea. It can happen, of course. I think there's just a lot of positivity for Spurs fans thinking, okay, we've got Thomas Frank. We play, you know, you see a few good games, and you're like, right, we're moving in the right direction. And then you get a game like this, and you're like, ugh,
it's still inconsistent.
Yeah, but come on.
Remember, we've had this conversation before about Spurs supporters. They did this with Conte. Conte, remember, famously came out and called them out. Ange, he's come out and he's called them out. The supporters, like how negative it gets. And it's happening again. It's happening again. You know, they lose another game, for example. And what happens then? Like, you know, are they considering Thomas Frank's future at Spurs? It would be crazy. It would be insane.
I think the board would be crazy if already they're thinking about things like that. You don't cave to fan pressure when you have a manager like Thomas Frank. He is a good manager. He will come good. He'll get them where they want to go, which is European football. Consistently. That's what they want. And I think that is the word, isn't it? They want to be consistent in everything they're doing.
Yeah.
And getting rid of these kind of results, because it's embarrassing.
It was bad. Like that. Yeah. Moy Caicedo, though, he was everywhere. This guy is... Do you think... It's early in the season, but do you think he's played himself into this team of the season already?
Again, too early for me. But ultimately, he has looked good in every... I can't think of a game he hasn't done well in. Yeah, so far this season,
even the games they've lost, he's looked world class. I'll throw that word out. I think he's world class.
Yeah, I think ultimately I wasn't too concerned that we didn't sign him.
Yes.
I kind of thought, well, yeah, he's all right, but you know, we've done okay. We brought in Graven Birch and that, and we looked all right. But
and McAllister,
yeah. But now looking at the performances he's putting in, he is the kind of player you want in your team, isn't he?
Okay, here's a question for you, because it's a talking point right now. He was signed by Chelsea for over 100 million plus, something along those lines. Big money, obviously. Rice was signed for big, big money. It took him maybe a season or so to really, really get. Moy Caicedo, maybe a couple of seasons. Do you think that these players who are signed on big, big money need to be judged after a couple of seasons to actually show that the money that they've been signed for actually is reflective of what their, you know, their skill set is or what their actual level is?
Yeah, I think you have to give players time. If they're on a contract, a lot of them are signing big contracts as well. You've got 5-year contracts. You're paying this 100 million odd for, right? So you judge them over the time of their whole contract. I don't think you can say straight away, and I know we can relate to this as Liverpool supporters as well, with a lot of the stick that the new boys are getting at Liverpool. It's not quite working out for them right now. But we're only a few games in. I mean, I don't want to go back to Liverpool again. I was going to mention this earlier, but I'm going to just drop... Yeah, I know.
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right.
But like Wirtz, for example, in the game yesterday.
Yes.
Is he going to play in the position that he wants to play in, being that kind of number 10 sitting behind the striker, which is, I think, where he wants to be? Maybe not. Maybe he is going to end up playing out wide, because he actually played pretty decently, apparently.
Played okay. Florian Wirtz, right?
Yeah. For us. So I think... He may not like the position, but if he's getting played week in and week out and he's doing well, then sometimes you have to make those changes. So
I asked that question because he's obviously getting so much stick. So much stick. I mean, the memes are outrageous about him. How he's, you know, he's shocking this and that. 135 million or 115 million we spent on him. But this is 10 games in the season.
Oh, he'll be
good.
And
he's already been judged so harshly like this. And you look at someone like Moy Caicedo, Declan Rice right now, who's arguably Arsenal's, you know, top three players right now playing this season. It's taken them time. Yeah. And you have to give these guys time.
You've got to bed in. I think it's different for Rice. He was already playing in the Prem. So
Yeah, that's a good point.
Wirtz has come from the Bundesliga. It's a different pace. It's a completely different league in terms of the standard as well. So I think, I mean, a lot of people have said this about English football. Even the lower teams are tough, right? There's no easy games, right? It's a bit of a cliche, but there are no easy games in the Premier League. So, it's going to take a bit of time. I have no doubt, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, he will be a star for us. He will be quality. He may not end up playing in the position he wants to play in, but they will find a way to get him playing the way that everyone thinks he can play.
There we go.
So I have no doubts. And I think, Caicedo has been incredible and is just seems to be getting better and better. So
there we go.
Could he be there at the end of the season in the team of the year? Absolutely. Will he be? We'll wait and see.
So let's segue into time. A player that has had a lot of time in the Premier League, Danny Welbeck.
Yeah, a bit of a legend at the moment, isn't
legend.
He?
Legend. He scored more goals after 30 than he did before 30. That's a interesting statistic there. He's proven that there's life after 30. I know you don't like that, you know, players, football.
Well, you're old after 30. No, I don't like that. I mean, nobody likes that, do they? Once they've gone past 30 and people are saying, football. Oh, you're old after 30.
It's football. I mean, look at Salah right now. But anyway, let's not. Danny Welbeck, he's the guy we're talking about. He's having a great season. I think he's the current top English goal scorer right now. Talk of England call-up.
Yeah, he's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he?
Yeah.
As we move towards Christmas time.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Look, when it comes to international call-ups, or in fact playing for any team, you play players on form. I've always said this. Don't go with names. It doesn't matter how old they are. If they're banging in goals. I mean, having his experience around anyway, that is...
helps.
Yeah,
it Jordan helps. Henderson is around, isn't he?
Absolutely, right? Yeah. Those kind of players that have been there, done that, they're good people to have around anyway, like within the camp. But ultimately, if you're scoring goals...
helps.
Yeah, that also helps, doesn't it? Exactly. So why not? Why would he not have any? If he is the best English striker in the Premier League right now, then
have him in there.
Have him in there. Why not? It can't hurt, can it?
No. Let's move on to another striker in form. Crystal Palace hosted Brentford. Mateta, he is...
Still going.
Scored almost a hat-trick. Was it a hat-trick last game or a couple of games ago? Great header. Did you see the header? It's like neck muscles were just something. I know, yeah. You all can't see this, but Marty has shown.
I'm doing the action.
He's doing the action, but the neck muscles required to pull that off. He's such a good player. He's so dangerous. Hard work for us, you know, managing someone like that. I don't like him just because of how he plays when he plays against Liverpool. But he's having a great, great season right now. And Brentford, victims of a long throw, that team. Yeah, they let us feel it a couple of games ago, didn't
yeah.
they? And they were victims of it. So, yeah, you know.
Well, it's
your just desserts.
It's the in thing, isn't it, this year?
A point I wanted to make is every team has a weapon. And sometimes it feels like, I'm sorry, I have to go back to us, but it sometimes feels like Liverpool are the only team without a weapon and we're not taking advantage of a weapon, whether it's long throws, whether it's set pieces, whether it's just, you know, corners, like hounding people around corners or whatever it is, something sneaky, something tricky to get that extra edge. We don't have that. And every other team seems to...
It feels like that.
They have their little tricks.
We do score from the occasional corner. Obviously, occasional. We do score from the occasional free kick.
Yeah.
We have had some tricky kind of training ground set pieces before, but you don't see it a lot. And it does kind of feel like that.
It does.
You don't feel overconfident when it comes to a corner or any kind of set piece that, oh, we might make something
like
this. Yeah,
but when other teams are doing it, you feel like, wow, they've practiced this. They have something. They have a trick, I'd like to say. Something they will utilize to get a goal.
But maybe they need it more. I mean, like when... no, but I mean, when... Like,
so let's go back to Arsenal then. Why does Arsenal need it that much? Are they not a top side?
They had to have it because they didn't have the striker last season.
No.
They had to find ways to get goals. So it was like, right, if we can't score goals in open play, certainly as many as we'd want to, certainly with the reputation of Arsenal, because they've always been a team that almost tried to walk it into the net.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They've always had that reputation, haven't they? So to kind of flip that and be like, well, we don't really have that striker. Our main striker's got injured. We didn't have the replacement. This was last season, wasn't it? What are we going to do? Well, we've got to utilise set pieces. We've got to be good at corners. We've got to make sure that we're solid defensively. And that's exactly what they've done.
Yeah.
It's just now that they have more striking options, you know, they've got those tricks. And
tricks.
Yeah, they are a dangerous team.
We'll call it that.
Palace, again, are a team that are very solid. And I think they deserve a lot of respect from
A good manager. I like Oliver Glasner. I think he's a smart guy. He shows us that you can play three at the back successfully. Amorim is obviously doing better right now, but Glasner's been doing it for a season and a bit. So, you know, credit to him. West Ham did finally get a win.
I know, right?
At home.
Against a team that I'm... probably didn't see. I didn't see this result coming, I don't think.
I didn't either. I would have bet my bottom dollar that Newcastle would have made life hard for them.
They're struggling a bit, aren't they, Newcastle?
What do you think? Do you think it's one of those ones where we're not talking about it a lot right now, but could they sleepwalk into a situation?
No, I don't think so.
They can't get top four, surely. I don't see them in the top four battle.
No, I don't think they're there either. But I don't think there's any talk of them being involved in lower half of the table issues, right? I think
you'd be surprised.
No, but ultimately they've got to start getting a few more results, slightly more positive results, because against the West Ham team who have been poor, very poor, who again would be one of those teams that were sleepwalking exactly in that direction, then you would expect Newcastle to do a lot better away from home or not.
Yeah.
So I was surprised by this, but I mean it's great for West Ham because they desperately needed to get a result because it was going the way of Wolves for a little while, wasn't it? It was just like.
I mean, it was already negative, wasn't it? I'm not sure how much more negative it could get. I think the fans were probably just used to, well, we're just losing at home. It's been a while. I feel like they've not won at home in quite a while.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're still in the relegation zone, but, you know, they need those wins.
I mean, they're firmly in a relegation battle, I would argue.
Yeah, at the moment.
I think Nuno Espirito Santo's come out and said that they're firmly in a relegation battle. So,
but give him time to get his...
groove.
Yeah, to... I again think he's a very good manager. I think he will get results for them. Are they still going to be in a relegation battle come February? Then
let's see.
We'll see. But I mean, there's a good chance they won't be.
I'll be surprised. Well, let's see. Anyway, let's move over to the robot, Haaland, Man City. They do depend on him, don't they?
Well, that's what everyone's saying.
Another two goals. He's having such a good season. There are way too many statistics about his scoring record. I think, you know, after, 10 games, he's three times or four times on the list for some reason. How many seasons has he been in the Premier League? But he's at least in the list three times for most goals scored after 10 games. So right now he's
every
on... Every season he's been, he's scored more than 10 goals in 10 games. I know Pep has mentioned the fact that everyone has to work as well and score goals, but the team create everything for him. It's created a situation that's conducive to Haaland scoring as many goals as possible. So when Pep says, oh, these guys, you know, they need to step up as well in terms of goals. No, that's the job of it. That's his job. His primary job is to score goals.
Yeah, I know, but if he's not in the team, then what do they do?
Well, that's for them to figure out.
Well, this is the thing is, he is a machine. He's incredible, incredible goal scorer. I mean, I don't think there are any players like him. And the records speak for themselves.
Harry Kane, possibly.
I don't think Harry Kane's anywhere near as good as Haaland is.
Kylian Mbappe, possibly. No?
I don't know.
Different
kind of player.
Different kind of striker, absolutely.
And this is, I think Harry Kane's more that kind of striker, but ultimately Mbappe, not so much. But I think, yeah, if he gets injured, I mean, he stays pretty fit. But I mean, if he does get injured, then are City going to struggle? There's a good chance they will, because if everything goes through him and they don't have him, who else have they got that can play that role? They haven't got anyone else that can play.
No,
like
they don't. They don't.
So then they have to rely on their, more creative players to then chip in. And if they're not currently doing it, because they are solely focusing on that, then that will play into everybody else's hands. And they will have that blip if he does pick up an injury.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one for City, isn't it? Because you have created a situation where you've created a team built around Haaland. It's everything is to maximize Haaland. And whether there'll be a drop off, I don't know, but injuries may be possible. He hasn't always had the best injury record, does he? No, he has moments where he's
picked up
a few injuries, but I don't think they've been major.
Yeah, major ones.
But it's, what do they do? What will they do in that situation? Because, the goals doesn't seem to, you can get goals from other people in the team. It's going to be tough. It could be tough for them.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
If he can stay fit all season, then they're okay, aren't they?
There we go. Okay, so let's head off to the final game, Stadium of Light. Granit Xhaka saved the point for Sunderland.
Not happy about this one at all.
Why not?
Purely fantasy football.
Oh.
I had the guy I was up against, I do the draft fantasy football. That's the only one I seem to be good at. I'm terrible at the other one. So, it's a head-to-head thing, right? So I was ahead on points. He had one player left. That player left to play was Xhaka. I had two. I had that Isidore.
Yeah.
Right, who's the striker for Sunderland. And I also had Grealish for Everton. So I'm thinking, I've got two players here.
Possibly.
Could possibly do this, right? I'm in a good position.
Neither.
But of course, they both did terribly. Didn't get me any points. But, and Xhaka scores. The only person I didn't want to score in this game.
He's another one that is proving that you know, he's obviously Premier League experience with Arsenal for many, many seasons, but he's not that shown experience is needed in some of the, and especially a team like Sunderland, he must be vital to them.
Smart business from Sunderland, bringing in somebody who is not only a decent player, regardless of his age, because of the position he plays, you can get away with it a little bit more, I think, as you get older. And I say get older, what, he's like 34 or whatever he is.
That's old for football.
Yeah, well, so they say. But ultimately, he's still a quality player. He's bags of experience. That was a really, really smart signing for Sunderland, because there, that's it. You bring in new players, some players that haven't played Prem, some that have that kind of experience, but you need to have at least one person that really knows how to compete at that level. And he's doing really well for them. And a 1-1 draw to Everton, I think, from a Sunderland point of view, is respectable enough. They probably would have thought, let's go out and win this. But ultimately, they're picking up points.
That's
a
lot.
And they're picking them up all over the place. They're doing really, really well.
They're doing very well. Very well. And I can see them out of a relegation battle, I think.
Well, they're on the same points that we are.
I mean,
in fourth.
Oh no.
So
it's like 18th. 18 points, rather.
They're on 18 points.
Yikes.
So we had just beaten them.
You'd imagine if they picked up another 18 points or 20 points, they would be, you'd argue that, you know, 40 points is often the market, right, for staying in the Premier League.
I mean, they'd have to massively collapse.
It would be a massive collapse, but
to fall into into a relegation battle after the start they've had.
So much hard work has been done already. And it would be a mad, crazy collapse, which I don't see happening.
I don't see it happening either.
They're very well organised.
At the very least, they're probably going to finish around mid-table, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, that was the roundup. That was quick. Felt quick.
Yeah.
We just got into it.
Just
went straight pia pia pia. Exactly. Yeah, that was game week 10. Man City next game.
Yeah.
Be a tough one.
We'll have to wait and see how Pep decides to play, won't we? Because if he does play the Pep way, we might be okay. A lot of rhyming going on there. But ultimately, I think just the fact that we changed up that midfield has made a huge difference. From last season, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're trying to bring in all these new people, and that's not... Give them time to gel.
Give them time.
I think Ekotike's had a good start, and I think...
He works hard.
And I think that when Isak comes back, Isak stays on the bench. You get
I do agree with you.
I don't care how much money we spent on him. I mean, you know my thoughts on it. I didn't necessarily think we needed him anyway.
I think we needed a defender.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely needed a defender. I would have taken Gueye over Isak in terms of who I'd have preferred to have signed. But ultimately, he's still a player that you want to have in your team. It's great that we've got him. But bed him in. Get him in.
There we go.
Give him a little chance here and there and see what happens. But ultimately, stick to... Robertson's back in the team. We didn't even mention that.
Oh, God, yeah, of
I know,
course.
Exactly.
But Kirk has needed to get out.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. We've gone back to Liverpool.
Final thoughts. Full disclosure.
We are Liverpool supporters.
Yeah, exactly.
In case you weren't aware.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you go with what worked last season and slowly bring the players in.
That's
and then
it.
Hopefully, by mid-season, we'll be gelling and it'll be an interesting title race.
It will be. It should be. Anyway, that was game week 10. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. See you again next week. Marty, thank you very much, as always.
Pleasure.
Pleasure. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.